Hi, and welcome to Common Denominator, straight up conversations with me, Moshe Popak. This week, sustainability and food equality. My guest is Rob Greenfield, who's billed as Earth's Messenger for Green Living. Rob is an activist and humanitarian dedicated to leading the way to a more sustainable, just, and equal world. Rob, thanks for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's good to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
So it seems to me your entire life is devoted to sustainability. Tell us a little bit about how that began.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's reasonable to say that my life is devoted and dedicated to it. But at the same time, I'm devoted and dedicated to living a good life myself, loving my life, feeling good about life, you know, feeling purposeful and having a mission in life. And for me, our existence, sustainability, some people would call it, is something that I'm extremely passionate about. But it's not what I always thought about. If, you know, we rewind about 10 years back, I was in my mid-20s, and I had a goal of being a millionaire by the time that I turned 30. And I was very focused on material possessions and financial wealth, and I was basically pursuing this American dream. And then what happened is I started to educate myself. I started to watch a lot of documentaries and read a lot of books and realize that the American dream is the world's nightmare. I was the world's nightmare. I was just mindlessly consuming in a way that I was, with almost all of my actions, the food I was eating, the car I was driving, the gas I was pumping into it, the cheap junk I was buying, and so on, was all causing injustice and inequity and destruction of the world. And so at that point, I decided I'm going to turn this life around so that I can live in a way that's actually harmonious with this earth, with my fellow humanity, and with the plant and animal relatives that we share this beautiful home with.
And before we started the interview, I told you that to find somebody that actually, and you said 10 years it's been this way, that consistency to what has become a deeply held belief. So I really admire that. How do you think that as a role model in this lifestyle, do you feel that you've impacted people in a meaningful way?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one thing that I want to acknowledge is that, yeah, you found me. And one of the reasons you found me is because for me, it's not just about living sustainably. It's about helping others to do so as well. And there's actually a lot of people out there who are very, very focused on living a life that's better for Earth, community, and self, but they aren't the messengers of it. And I happen to be someone that is a messenger in my way of existing. I always have been. Long before I was into messaging for good, I was a marketer. I sold advertising. I sold garbage to people that they didn't need. So there's a lot of people out there that are definitely, very much, you know, trying to live with their actions in alignment with their beliefs.
I want to ask you about some of your remarkable achievements, including rescuing food from grocery store dumpsters and cycling across the U.S. 3 times on a bamboo bike. But first, a reminder, this is Common Denominator. I'm Moshe Popak, and my guest today is activist and humanitarian Rob Greenfield. If you're enjoying this episode, please subscribe on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'd be grateful for any 5-star ratings. Plus, we'd love to hear from you. If you have feedback about the show, send us your comments on Twitter at @mpopak. Now, back to the show. One of the, you know, I know you have a ton of great, to your point, action initiatives. One of them is food freedom, and it's probably one of my favorites and the most seemingly obvious, right? So tell us a little bit about food freedom.
Sure. Well, so, you know, when I woke up about 10 years ago to the state of the world, a big part of that realization was our food system. realizing that I was eating a whole bunch of stuff that was being shipped all over the world, that was being produced in a way that was destructive to the people, to the other species, to the land, and that it was, you know, just controlled by this huge food system, this, you know, corporation, you know, some would call it big ag. And it's just this whole industrial global food system is seriously problematic. And so I always wondered, you know, would it be possible to just step away from this completely? Is it possible to break free from this industrial global food system? And I wasn't ready to explore that yet, because I was still going to the grocery store for almost everything. And after about 6 years of learning and growing, I decided to embark to see if it was possible. And I decided that for 1 year, I would grow and forage 100% of my food, even the herbs and spices, down to the salt and oil, the calories, the nutrients, the vitamins, the fat, the protein, everything. And I had to just truly immerse in my food and learn about my food. And over the year, I grew over 100 different types of food in my garden and foraged over 200 different foods from nature. So it was very much a year of abundance.
Yeah, that's tremendous. It seems, you know, if we only realize that, right? You're in Florida. I mean, in your garden. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. So it's just in your front yard, right? All of a sudden, and you're just growing this abundance for free, basically. I mean, you know, there's some odds and ends, but seeds and it grows. And
yes.
I mean, that of all messages, I mean, I think that's, and then you went ahead and shared that with the community, which was amazing. Right.
Yeah. It's, so I started with nothing, basically. I landed in Florida with just all the possessions I own fitting in my backpack, I believe, at the time. And what I did is I talked to people in the neighborhood, and I asked if they'd like their front yard turned into a garden. And that's what I did. I turned 6 yards into gardens, and I shared the food with them, and then, shared the garden with them. And then, of course, after the 2 years that I was there, it was theirs to continue enjoying. And then that's where, you know, a huge portion of my food was grown. And then the other portion was harvesting it wherever food grows freely and abundantly all around us in nature. And now that I've done this, it's amazing. My eyes see that almost everywhere I look, whether I'm in the city or the countryside, there's food. There's food growing freely and abundantly all around us.
And I also know, I love your zero waste activism, right? People see trash. You ended up using that trash. I guess you actually wore the trash. Is that what it was?
Yeah. So yeah, the average person in the United States creates about 4.5 pounds of garbage every day, which is 2 kilos. But for most of us, we never think twice about it. We throw it in the garbage can and the garbage truck picks it up. It's out of sight, out of mind. We throw it away. But there is a realization that I had and so many others, and that is that there is no away. So I wanted to show people this. And so what I did is for 1 month, I lived like the average person. I ate, I shopped, I consumed like the average person. But the catch was I had to wear every piece of garbage that I created, which, 4.5 pounds of trash per day really adds up. I created about 3 pounds per day. And so by the end of the month, I was wearing 90 pounds of garbage, your coffee cups, your plastic bags, your plastic forks and spoons, your packaging, all of it. And I was just a walking billboard of what American consumerism actually looks like if we don't just throw it away.
Right. And I know, I don't know if this is really the actual stat, but I think, you go to restaurants and there's all this leftover food. And the other initiative, which is also something that I would also think about, is the food waste fiasco, right? Taking the food, leftover food from the dumpsters. Did you actually go into the dumpsters and eat the food from the dumpsters? Is that actually what you did?
Yeah. So it was 2013, just a couple of years after I, woke up, that I started to learn about food waste. And I was actually biking across the United States trying to have no negative environmental impact. And one way to do that is to eat stuff that was, already thrown out that was in the dumpster. So I started to look inside grocery store dumpsters, and I was truly mind blown by what I was finding. I found all across the United States that dumpster after dumpster after dumpster was often full of perfectly good food. And I could easily pick up thousands of dollars worth of perfectly good food, from, you know, canned or boxed goods to bread to, you know, fruits and vegetables, even, you know, meat and dairy that's still cold right out of the refrigerator in the dumpster. Oh. And, you know, in the United States, we waste about half of all the food we produce, and about $165 billion. And I wanted to show people this. And so what I would do is I would take as much food out of the dumpsters, that the good stuff, and then lay it out in a public park, invite the media to come, invite people to come, and see ultimately just the tip of the food waste iceberg. But just this little tip was powerful, that people could see, wow, all this perfectly good food is being thrown out. And then along with that, I eat a lot of food from the grocery store dumpsters, which is just every day showing people, like, I'm existing a lot of the time on the food that people think is no good or that people throw away, that's absolutely still perfectly good.
Yeah, I definitely love that message. Right, people think, oh, it's in the dumpster, but no, there's still, or it expired. But all that stuff, actually, you can survive. Because I know the stat, but of the 7.8 billion people in the world, you probably would know this, what percentage or how many people do not have food and water, for example?
Maybe. Yeah, well, about 1 billion people are food insecure. So I guess that's about, you know, 1 in 7 people on Earth are food insecure. So it is an absolutely substantial, it's a huge portion of the world's population. And the reality is that we produce enough food to feed this, and we produce enough food to feed at least 10 billion people. So there is no food shortage whatsoever.
Right. I think that is a very important message. And I know also part of your, to create awareness, you have your, you went 3 times around the country on bamboo bicycle. How do, when you're riding through cities and meeting people, how do they see you? Is it they welcome you? Is it questions? How does that experience go?
Yeah, it definitely ranges. There's no doubt a lot of people who just consider me, you know, they'll, you know, use some slanderous words at me, just calling me like a bum or a vagrant or a freeloader. There's a lot of people who look at me and they just make assumptions about me based on other people they have experience with, which they very well might be making incorrect assumptions about them as well. So there's no doubt that there's a lot of people who don't understand my message and look down upon me even. But there's so many people that, you know, me visiting them is, it's a intriguing day, I would say. You know, the most common, you know, a lot of people, because what I'm doing is very outside of societal norms, it's an interesting thing for so many people that I come across in my travels, because here's this guy doing something wildly different from what they're used to. And I just ride up into their town, especially small towns across the United States. And it's often like, wow, I didn't know of this perspective. And all these things that he's talking about, I never had even thought about these in my entire life, potentially. So it's often a wake-up call, and it's often like, you know, people are pretty inspired to see someone who's just really out there standing up against things and standing for something.
So I'm a big, big fan in any area of courage for people to take action, even though, like to your point, it's against societal norms, because I believe each human has... you know, I say we travel alone, but we arrive together. That they have whatever their message is. We're similar, but we're different. And I don't believe there's any one box. So I commend you to be out there and, you know, like kind of lone soldier or the eagle within your message, even if people agree or disagree. When people disagree, do you try to change their minds? Do you try to convince them, talk to them? What's your
thought? Not too much.
Right.
And the reason why I don't focus too much on people who, I mean, of course, if there's people who are disagreeing in the sense that we're having a conversation, I'll continue a conversation. But for people who just truly disagree with everything that I have to say, they have a totally different viewpoint, and may even just think I'm some idiot who didn't go to economics class.
Right.
I don't spend too much of my time or energy on them. And the reason why is because I only have so much time or energy. And there are millions of people who really want my time and energy. And what I mean by that is there's millions of people who are looking for opportunities to get out of the rat race, to, live a life of in service to humanity and earth. And I'm going to spend my time with them, because the same amount of time I spend with one person who just really actually doesn't care and doesn't want to change, I could spend the same amount of time with 10 people that actually that energy that I, gave to them actually is going to help them on this mission. So for me, it's just not worth the time compared to working with the people that are wanting the help to become the change they wish to see in the world.
Yeah, that's excellent. And that's an excellent message. Especially during COVID, what I'm seeing over these past almost 2 years is more and more people are wanting to kind of live that farm lifestyle, or live off the land, even people in urban core areas. I think that your message is going to keep on expanding. And I know also you had on the Discovery Channel a 6-part series. Tell us about that.
Okay. Well, that started organically out of a project I had done on my own, which was to basically hop on a plane from my house, from my city, with just the clothes in my back and passport, no money, and no cell phone, and have to make it back to my home, just on the kindness of others as well as on my own resourcefulness and problem-solving skills. And I did it first from Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, back to San Diego, which was like 1,300 miles through the desert, I believe. And then I did it I landed in Panama, Panama City, Panama, and had to travel 4,000 miles back all through Central America. And then Discovery Channel saw that I did that. And then we talked about the idea of me doing it from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, all the way back to the United States. And it ended up being that was too big of an adventure. So it ended up being Brazil to Colombia. So I landed there with just basic gear, like a tent and sleeping bag and things like that, and no money. And I had to travel about 4,000 miles through South America, really on the kindness of others and as well on my own like survival and resourcefulness skills.
That is seriously awesome, Rob. I often wonder if I could do that myself, and thinking now, it'll be a little bit tough. I mean, I probably would try, but it'll be a little bit tough. And I know now you have a different initiative, or a new initiative, the Community Fruit Trees and Free Seed Project. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, through the Free Seed Project, we provide a pack of seeds to people who wouldn't otherwise have money for seeds, or beginner gardeners who haven't started. And so this pack of seeds is basically, we give them about 20 different seeds, greens, vegetables, herbs, and then flowers for pollinators like bees and butterflies. And we send it to them in the mail. And this pack would potentially cost them about $50. And this provides them enough to have a good sized garden full of healthy and nutritious food. And we provide it to people that request them. And this year we're sending out about 10,000 packs to, 10,000 people across the United States. And that's what we did last year as well. And then Community Fruit Trees is a program where we plant fruit trees in publicly accessible places where anybody can enjoy the fruit. The front yards by the sidewalk, or school yards, or city parks, or the medians between the street and the sidewalk. And the idea is just simply that food doesn't have to come from the grocery store. It can be growing freely and abundantly all around us. And it's both about the fruit that the trees will produce, but also about the mindset that they can create, where people can see that freedom that comes through food growing right in our own communities.
So definitely, it was my wife's inspiration, but we, our main business, we have workforce housing, garden style housing, and we have a program called Neighborhood Farms USA. And in these communities, the residents with their children, they're kind of in the communal area, whether it's raised beds or fruit trees or vegetable gardens. It's amazing to see the residents working together and growing these. And hopefully we'll be able to roll this out, you know, in many different cities, and to speak to like-minded people in this space is really an inspiration. And if the listener wanted to find out more about you, Rob, how would they do that?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm glad, you know, I'm really happy to learn about Neighborhood Farms. We need Neighborhood Farms in every neighborhood across the United States and the world, you know? It would change our entire, it could change our entire country if we simply all started to grow food together as a community. It's one of the single most, to me, impactful changes that we can make in our community that can ripple through our whole way of existing.
Agreed. Agreed.
So yeah, and yeah, if you want to join me, my website's just robgreenfield.org, and then you can just type my name into social media, YouTube and Facebook and Instagram are where I am the most. And plenty of inspiration and education on there that I'll be sharing for a long time to come.
I want to thank you so much, Rob. It's really been a pleasure. And continue doing your great work.
I will. Thanks for having me on, Moshe. And yeah, looking forward to keeping in touch.
Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks for listening to the Common Denominator podcast. Join us next week for another inspiring, impactful, and empowering conversation. To learn more about Moshe, head to moshepopak.com. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it. And we'd be grateful if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the show.